Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Thursday, November 9th. It's Week 10. And this Sunday, the Jags welcome the Los Angeles Chargers to EverBank Field. Plenty to get to this week, including a closer look at the unit that has been a pleasant surprise in 2017, the offensive line. We'll hear from offensive line coach Pat Flaherty in a preview of an interview for Sunday's Publix tailgate show. In addition, we'll get a look at the Los Angeles Chargers with their radio play-by-play man and syndicated radio host Matt Money Smith. Let's get to it, starting with the return of Gus Bradley. He's the defensive coordinator for the Chargers, and he spent the last four seasons as the Jaguars head coach, of course. He's one of the all-time great people in the business, but didn't win many football games here, unfortunately. 14-48 record in four seasons for Gus. He was fired after the Week 15 loss in Houston last year. The Chargers had their bye last week. Bradley, after the Week 8 game before the bye week for the Chargers, downplayed his return to Jacksonville.
Well, I don't know. I probably haven't thought much about it. You know, I care for Seattle, you know, and I care for Jacksonville and Tampa and, you know, everywhere I've been. I think the NFL, there's a lot of really good people in the NFL, is what I've learned through the years that I've been in. Just really good people and people that all want the same thing. So at least where I've been, I've noticed that. So, Jacksonville is just another place that had a lot of good people.
That audio is courtesy of Chargers.com. Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith recently signed a contract extension but was brought in the league as a later round pick and was allowed to grow under Bradley's tutelage.
For a guy with my kind of attitude, it was perfect because he allowed me to be myself. And that's something that a lot of coaches don't allow a young guy like myself, because I come in talking rowdy, you know, and a lot of people like shut up and you know, the statement you need to be seen, not heard. And those who are heard and not seen won't be seen, whatever, you know. So that, I think that was the greatest. And just his joy and his aura that he gave off to the whole organization. I tried to take from that and build who I am.
Knowing Gus Bradley, he won't make any big deal about his return this week, but it's something to watch. His defense, by the way, is playing pretty good football here in 2017 as well. The big problem for the Jags over recent history has been defending Phillip Rivers. After losing his first outing against the Jags back in 2007, Rivers has won six straight against this organization. In his seven outings, he's averaged over 300 yards passing and has totaled 19 touchdowns with four picks in those games. In each of the last two meetings, he's thrown four touchdown passes. But he hasn't faced this Jaguars defense. This is a group playing with a swagger and confidence right now that we haven't seen around here in a long, long time. And the pass rush is a major part of that. The speed of the linebackers adds to it. And the coverage, play, and talk from the secondary puts icing on the cake. All of that talk and play and coverage starts with cornerback Jalen Ramsey, who was ejected from last week's game after getting into an altercation with six-time Pro Bowler A.J. Green. In the locker room this week, Ramsey was asked, what exactly did he say to Green to push him over the edge?
I lock receivers down physically, and then mentally I get in their mind, get under their skin. I talk my talk, whatever I'm going to say. It's rumors out there that I said, like, some deep, some personal stuff. I'm going to let y'all know that's not true off rip. I get out there. I do my thing. I talk. But I don't go personal. I don't talk about nobody, wife, nobody, kids, nobody, family. I don't do that. So that's untrue. That's not true at all. I think he even said that, though. It was nothing that I said. I didn't say nothing like that. But I told him almost every play that he was weak, that he was soft. That demonstrate facts. He just couldn't handle the truth. It was facts. Told him that his time almost up. Told him that it was easy, which it was. He had one catch for 6 yards. I was just out there spitting facts to him. So he got mad. And then people trying to talk about the push. I mean, I pushed him every single play. We can go back and look at the film. I pushed him every single play. I told him, stop putting his hand on me. When it's a run play, don't even put your hand on me. So he put his hand on me. I pushed him again. He just fell because he weak. I mean, he's small. I'm saying it wasn't a late push. It was during the whistle. The whistle hadn't blown yet. I wasn't gonna get flagged for that push because it was during the play. The flags did. No flag came out until he grabbed me. Y'all can go back and look at that on the tape too. So it wasn't dirty. It wasn't a cheap shot. It was none of that. None of them excuses that people are trying to make that he tried to make. It was what it was. But at the end of the day, I took it. I was hot because I got kicked out, and then I wanted my money's worth. If I knew I was going to get kicked out, I would have You feel me? I would have fought back easily, but that's the quickest way off Ramsey Island, though. I mean, he had one catch for 6 yards. I mean, if I was a receiver and I had to line up across from myself, I would try to figure out the easiest route to get off too. So he figured it out.
That's next level stuff, and the Ramsey legend continues to build. He's one of a handful of Jaguars defenders that should merit Pro Bowl consideration this year. Calais Campbell, Telvin Smith, A.J. Boye could be just a few of the others. Now to the offense. It's a group that has had a number of contributors out the last couple of games, but they've put together two of the best yardage outings in recent Jags history. But it starts with the offensive line, a group that was banged up in Indy 2 games ago. Cam Robinson went out on the second play of the game with an ankle injury. Linder was still sick back then. And then last week, Robinson was back in the lineup, but right guard A.J. Can missed the game with a triceps injury. Linder returned to play right guard, and Shatley stayed at center. That's a lot of moving around. And on the Bocelli breakdown this week, a new feature for Jaguars.com and Jags social media, pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Bocelli gave credit where it's due.
It's about time we give them a lot of credit, because no matter who we put in the backfield, we have success running the ball. This is the number one rushing offense in the NFL. They were dominant. The end of that game was such a classic offensive line game. I think they took the ball back around 9-minute mark, and they never allowed the Bengals to have it again. And that's all about the offensive line. They're outstanding.
Look for the Bocelli breakdown each Tuesday on Jaguars social media channels and Jaguars.com. A big part of the success up front, of course, comes from the approach of offensive line coach Pat Flaherty.
Well, I think the progression started in training camp with guys who were playing, as you said, multiple positions. And when you play multiple positions, it helps you in the long run. In the short term, it looks like it's not going to help anyone because you don't have the continuity. And then we felt, you know, and Doug and Coach Hackett, we just felt all along we communicated every day about it. When was going to be the time we were going to get cohesion with these guys?
Moving guys in and out of the lineup has been a priority the last couple of weeks with injuries or sickness or whatever it was. That tells you a lot about the depth of your group, but that guys that are not normal starters are ready to go at a moment's notice, right?
Well, it is. And, they, you know, give credit to the players, because the players come out every day and they work hard, whether they're a backup or a starter. And they know at any time they're going to be in there. And when they go in there, they don't want to disappoint.
Cam Robinson goes out with the ankle injury a couple games ago against Indianapolis, but comes back after the bye week like he did at Alabama. Came out of a game after a bye week, didn't miss the game after that. He never missed a game in Tuscaloosa. Was there any hesitation at all with him about not playing last week? Did you have any hesitation with left tackle?
I don't know if I had any hesitation. I always wait for the trainers and for Coach Marone to let us know what's going to happen. You know, when you look at Cam Robinson, his demeanor is just the type of demeanor you want in the offensive line room. And the other guys are the same way. You know, if it's possible, they're going to play. Yeah, you have to fight. You're going to have bumps and bruises, and everybody does in the NFL. And that's part of a young guy learning. You know, it's a long season for him. And, you know, you feel good the first game, and then after that you have to get yourself mentally, hey, I'm going to have a nick here, a nick there, and you have to go out and play because the other team's doing the same thing.
Hear the full visit with offensive line coach Pat Flaherty coming up this Sunday on the Public's Tailgate Show starting at 10 a.m. on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app. Now a little more on the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers play-by-play man Matt Money Smith is in his first season in the booth with the organization. It's a team that's 3-5 and tied for third place in the AFC West. You might know him from the Petros and Money show syndicated throughout the country, a fantasy analyst for NFL Network as well. Matt, what's up? How are you?
Oh, just looking forward to a trip to Jacksonville. That's all. Nice to be off bye week. I think it was much needed for the team, but more importantly, JP, much needed for me.
Yeah, you're all over the place, man. You need a week off, right?
Exactly. You know, I needed some time to rest these pipes for a glorious second half run for these Chargers as they get ready to make a run at the playoffs. At least that's what they're thinking.
You already had a busy schedule anyway. You picked up the play-by-play for the Chargers their first year in L.A. How has that gone? I know you have experiences with it in the past, but the first year of a team in a new city, you're an L.A. guy anyway, but that's a big deal.
It's been really neat. You said it. I've been doing play-by-play for football, college, and NFL for about 6-7 years now. And I wasn't sure, you know, how it was going to be being affiliated with a team, but it is really neat. You know, you get to kind of learn a lot more about one team, about kind of what they're thinking, what players are doing to prepare, and what a, I guess, regular NFL work week looks like for them on their schedule. And, you know, just kind of parachuting in and helicoptering out, almost mercenary style, just calling whatever game it was that I was scheduled to do. Didn't give you any of that. So it is, as you can attest to, it is really cool to kind of see what goes into a full week of prep heading into game day for an NFL squad.
For this Chargers organization, they just made the move to L.A. I think Philip Rivers still travels back and forth to his home in San Diego. How difficult is the transition for this franchise, especially with the Rams a step ahead of them in the market, and where do they stand in the whole L.A. sports scene right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, going into it, we thought they had an opportunity maybe to seize control of this market because the Rams were so bad last year, so uninspiring. They had a first-round draft pick at quarterback that was not impressive at all. There were rumors that maybe even Sean Mannion would take that job, and obviously it has not played out that way. The Rams are the better team. They lead their division. They have the most explosive offense in football, and we thought that was going to be the Chargers' story, and it just hasn't played out that way. So they have their work cut out for them. That said, they present a very unique football experience in L.A., that obviously has been embraced by a lot of, you know, the opposing fans when their team is in town, but everybody walks away from StubHub Center saying, that's the best football experience I've ever had. So I think they have that going for them. If they can win some games, especially if they, you know, close out the season winning all four at StubHub Center, I think there's still an opportunity for them to gain some ground and to, you know, cultivate some fans here. But they knew it wasn't going to be a one-season thing, that it was going to take years to try to establish a presence here in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, it's probably not gone as well as they had hoped. At the same time, this last outing against the Broncos, I thought, was one of the best Charger-friendly crowds that we've had at StubHub so far this season.
Matt Money Smith is with us, the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. It helps when you have a franchise quarterback to bring with an organization to have kind of a face to, in a new city here. Seeing him up close and personal now for this season so far, what does Philip Rivers bring to the table? Not just on the field, we know that. He's beaten the Jags six times in a row. But around the building, his preparation, how does he help the organization as a whole?
You know, it is the cliche. You know, Philip fits the cliche to a mold. It is the CEO of your team, the voice of the team, the face of the team. And he's everything you would want, you know, from that position. Like you said, on the field, he's great. Off the field, he's a pro, you know, and also just standing next to him. I think there's, you know, there's certain guys that when you stand next to him, you don't recognize with pads on around a bunch of offensive linemen who are also 6 foot six. You don't realize how big Philip Rivers is. I mean, he is a big freaking guy. And I don't just mean tall, but just thick. I mean, he's built like a tight end. So I think that's one of the things that jumped out at me, just being around him as much as you are when you work with the team. But yes, personality-wise, he is everything that you'd want, that you hear teams want from that position. I mean, a true leader. I mean, the leader of this team. Bar none, it's not even close. Second would be distant.
Matt Money Smith is with us, voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. Gus Bradley's coming back to Jacksonville, and I know, knowing Gus, he's not going to make that a priority topic to discuss this week, but you know it's on his mind, and this is a defense that's going to look a lot like Jacksonville's in terms of scheme coming back here. What has Gus done with this defense? They're playing pretty good football on the defensive side this year. They got some pass rush and guys that can play up front.
Yeah, it's been a defense-heavy team. You know, we didn't think that that was going to be the case. I mean, we knew that Bosa and Ingram could rush the passer, and that was exciting. I don't think we realized that it would be, you know, and granted, we're talking Jaguars Chargers right now, but it's probably 1 and 1A, right, when it comes to that front four. But I think they are the best pair of pass rushers. When you have Ingram on one side, Bosa on the other, or sometimes now Gus has started to stack them with the return of Jerry Atauchu, kind of their speed lineup. Chris McCain lines up at that right end, Bosa, Atauchu inside, Ingram on the outside, and the Broncos just did not know what to do with it. So it's like you said, it's very similar. And, yeah, Gus won't do any media this week. He is avoiding it. He does not want this to be about him, but I've got to believe, and you know him well enough, this is a big one for him. He's going to want to get, and plus, you know what? That's got to be the game plan. You know, you probably you have to slow down Leonard Fournette. It's been hard for this team to slow down the run, although they've done a much better job of it the last couple weeks, and force Blake Bortles to beat you on the outside. And I think they'll probably be comfortable playing man out there, and they're gonna try to slow down Fournette, and that means, you know, pin your ears back and let's go get them.
Is this a must-win for the Chargers to save their season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the fact that the Chiefs have dropped 3 of 4 and that they already have wins over the Broncos and Raiders, I think that helps. But they like it. You know, the way their second-half schedule sets up, I think, you know, they figure 6-2 is worst case for them to make the postseason. So you probably got a little bit of wiggle room in there to get to 9-7. I think probably a 9-7 team going to make a wild card in the AFC. But they'd like this one. You know, the other road trip this month and this third quarter of the season is to Dallas. So you know how well they're playing at this point. And who knows what happens with Ezekiel Elliott's suspension moving forward. So they probably look at this as if you're supposed to win all your games at home and play 500 on the road in order to get out with that 9-7 record, this might be the one that you really need to get to set up what they hope can be another 3-1 month. Get them back to 6-6 headed into that fourth quarter of the season.
We'll have more with Matt Money Smith coming up Sunday on the Publix Tailgate Show. This Sunday is the Military Appreciation Game at Everbank Field. The Jaguars, with corporate and individual donors helping, have partnered with the Greater Jacksonville Area USO to provide complimentary tickets to at least 6,000 active, retired, and reserve military personnel and their families for this Sunday's game. The Jags also visited Naval Station Mayport and NAS Jax earlier this week. Players will wear camouflage-themed on-field apparel this week, and Jags helmets will feature a special decal that represents one of the 5 branches of the military and an NFL salute to service ribbon. Every fan that comes through the gate will receive an American flag as they enter Everbank Field this week. There will be plenty of pregame activities on the field ahead of the 1 o'clock kickoff to honor military, so get to Everbank Field early this Sunday. Our thanks to Jaguars offensive line coach Pat Flaherty and Chargers play-by-play man Matt Money Smith. Thanks also to Jags manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. We'll talk to you next week on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.